Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God in his holy house of worship. Praise him under the open skies. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise him with a blast on the trumpet. Praise him by strumming soft strings. Praise him with the castanets and dance. Praise him with banjos and flute. Praise him with cymbals and big brass drums. Praise him with fiddles and mandolins. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that is Psalms 150 in its entirety. And I thank and bless God for each and every one of you who counted it not robbery to join in with us tonight for this episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's the 1,130th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host for the next hour, Pastor Toy Chaffee Daly, and I welcome you to we're going to do it a little bit different tonight. Tonight, we're going to have a little combination toy talk and study for life mixed together. Yes, we're going to be doing toy talk, but we are definitely going to be doing a study, not just for our lives, but for the lives of those that we find ourselves witnessing to, encouraging, and comforting as we go throughout our day. So, yes, tonight's episode of Purpose Kingdom is going to go a little different than usual. Now, I know that I'm supposed to be starting the series because I remember what I told you last month, what he wants. However, God has led me in a different direction this month. He has dropped something so deep in my spirit that tonight's topic is so much more important than relationships, because it is the difference between life and death. So tonight, we are not going to talk about what's going on in the communities or with the media or with politics. We're not even going to talk about what's going on with relationships. Tonight, we are going to be discussing God's word and what we have been doing with and to God's word with all of our good intentions. And notice I said all of our, so I'm included in this also, good intentions. So join me this evening as we discuss, that's not what he said. I know you might think that's what God's word said. I know you might believe in your heart that's what it says. It might even be a combination when you sum it up of what was meant. But at the end of the day, that's not what he said. Now, we all have heard and used what I like to call believer's cliches. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, a believer's cliche is something that we sort of fall back to when we are encouraging one another in the Lord. And some of those believer's cliches, you might not know, like I just call it a believer's cliche, but you might not call it that, but I'm more than sure you know what I'm talking about. You know, the ones we throw out all the time. God will never put more on you than you can bear. You take one step, God will take two. One that we always misquote, well, you know, he wants his will done on earth just like in heaven. And the list could go on and on. But however, we only have an hour for this discussion. And that is exactly what I want to have this evening, a discussion. So please join in with me at 319-527-6091. Again, 319-527-6091. If for some reason you cannot get through on that number, feel free to call 323-870-4174. Again, 323-870-4174. And to talk live with me on the air, just hit 1. Understand, as I said, I really do want us to have a discussion this evening. And I need you to do me one more favor as we get started. While you're grabbing your Bibles and something to write with, send a text out or a SMS, a message somehow to your family and friends, and let them know that we are broadcasting live right now on www.blogtalkradio.com, Purpose Kingdom. I would greatly appreciate that because, again, you don't want to miss this word tonight because we are talking strictly about God's word, or rather things that we think may be God's word, but that's not what he said. Now, before we go any further, as we always do, we are going to stop and have a word of prayer, and then we are going to dive right in. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Father God, it is once more and again that we, your handmaid servants, have come gathered together around the throne of glory. We come, Father God, with a thanksgiving in our hearts and a praise on our lips. Yet we also come as bad children before a good father. So before we begin to praise, we are going to ask for forgiveness of any sins that may have been committed through thought, deed, or action, knowingly or unknowingly, sins of commission as well as sins of omission. We ask, God, that you will forgive us of these sins, that you would cast them into yonder sea of forgetfulness, and that you give us a spirit of repentance that we turn not back unto that which you are forgiving us for. In the name of Jesus, God. Then, Father God, we ask that you will toil the soil of our minds this evening, that your word will fall on good ground, that it will take root, Father, growing into good fruit-bearing trees. Hallelujah, God. That we may become walking epistles of your word in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Then, God, someone may be listening in this evening who are on a bed of affliction. Someone may be listening in this evening who is laying on a sick bed or a bed of recovery. We ask, Father God, that you would visit them right now in the name of Jesus. We speak healing upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, yea, even now, Father, for the victory, for their test that shall become their testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus, God. God, we come surrender to your will and your way this evening, Father. We ask that you will have your way as you see fit in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We ask that you will shine your light this evening in dark places, Father, places that we may not even know exist, God, that you will clean us through and through in the mighty name of Jesus. And we will forever be so careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining in with us this evening. I'm excited not just about the discussion, but because we have the Mother's Board with us once again this evening. And just like last month, at the conclusion of tonight's ministry, the Mother's Board is going to come together and we are going to close out in prayer. So now, I pray that you all got your Bibles. As we take a look at, that's not what he said. And notice that the he is quoted and it's in capital letters. And the reason that the he is quoted and is in capital letters is because the he that I am talking about is God or Jesus, depending on how you would choose to call him, or not how you would choose to call him, I'm sorry, depending on how the Bible is calling him at that particular time, because there are some places where it is God speaking, the creator, the Elohim, the Father, and then there are other places where you hear the Word speaking, the only begotten, the God-man, Jesus, Isa, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Christ. So depending on who you hear speaking, that is who the he represents. But we are going to talk about these believers' cliches that we always fall back on in words of encouragement. Even when we're ministering with all our best intentions, when we're testifying, when we always come out with these cliches, and I have done it, I'm guilty of doing it myself. Couple of weeks, the Lord has really been sort of twisting something in my spirit about it, because what he has begun to let me know is that when we misquote God's word, depending on who we're talking to, we can do more harm than we can do good. Amen. And we have to be careful, because that is how the enemy works. See, people think that the author of all lies comes to his children with big, blatant lies, but that's not how he works. What he does is he takes the truth and he twists it just enough so that it is no longer in agreement with what God is saying, and it makes what we are saying something totally different. So again, we're going to start looking at these believers' cliches. Now, this first one that I'm going to look at is actually a prayer that we pray. And I'm not going to go real deep into the prayer of it. I'm just going to deal with one particular verse of this particular prayer, because that is the verse that we often miss. Quote. And in our misquoting it, I know some people would say, oh, well, you know, God knows our heart. Yes, God knows your heart, but a person who is not a believer in Christ does not know your heart. A person who does not know Jesus Christ for themselves does not understand what it is you're saying, so they'll take it at what it is they heard you say, because they may not have opened up a Bible anywhere to read it for themselves. So the first one that we are going to talk with can be found, start with, I'm sorry, can be found in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, the prayer in its entirety can be found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 13. And the particular verse that we are focusing on can be found in the 10th verse of said scripture. Now, just in case there's somebody out there that does not know the Lord's Prayer and what was going on, basically the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And he said to them, when you pray, you should pray in this manner. And he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And now my mind is going blank on it. You know, that is not nothing but the devil. So because the devil wants to play, I just told y'all where it was, so I'm just going to read it. He said, pray after this manner. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, that is the entire Lord's Prayer. Now, as I said, we're only going to be looking at verse 10, because verse 10 is the verse that is misquoted, misrecited, mispublished, and misstated the most. And the way that we do it is we usually say, or we see it published, we see it written, we hear it recited, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But when you look at God's word, it does not say on earth, it says in earth. So why is that fraudulent? Why would even God make that so deep to me? Because to be honest, the first time I really looked at it, I was like, well, on in, what's the difference? And I think God sort of said, I'm glad you asked that question, because why it is so important is because when you look at the definition of the words on and in, although they can sometimes be interchanged with one another, they are two totally different definitions. So just in case you do not believe me, we are going to look at this word on. The definition for the word on is used as a function word. It's used to indicate the position in contact with and supported by the top surface. It's used as a function word to indicate a source of attachment or support. As a function word, again, to indicate a time frame during which something is going to take place. Every time you look at the word on, it is used as a function word, and because it's sort of used as a function word, it allows you to sort of intertwine it with the word in. However, when you look at the word on, on has to be supported by something. It has to be or something's surface. For example, you have your clothes on. The surface of your body is supporting it. Something is on your head. The surface of your head is supporting it. On is also used as a function word to indicate reason, ground, or bias for something. It's used as a function word to indicate the object of collision, opposition, or hostility. It's basically a function word, and that is its definition. Now, when you look at the definition of the word in, it reads slightly different. In, as a preposition, is expressing the situation of something that is or appears to be enclosed or surrounded by something else. In is expressing a period of time during which an event takes place or a situation remains the case. In is expressing a state or a condition. In is expressing a movement with the result that someone or something becomes enclosed or surrounded by something else. This is as an adverb. It's the same definition, but it's expressing the situation of being enclosed or surrounded. When you look at it as an adjective, it's fashionable, or to be present at a location. Someone is in their home. So when you look at in, it is about being enclosed or having something enclosed by something else. Now, like I said, I'm not going to go deep into the Lord's Prayer because we're going to do a study on that later on in the year. But it's important that you understand the difference between the definition of in and on. Because if we look at it and we say, thy will be done on earth, if his will is on us, then that means we have to be able to support his will if it's on us. And if it's on us, that means we can also knock it off of us if it gets too heavy. If we look at it and say, his will be done on us, then that means we are wearing it. And based on the definition of the word on, if we are wearing God's will on us, that means that whenever it gets too tight or uncomfortable for us, we can simply take it off. And when you look at God's word, you never hear him talking about what he wants to do on us. You hear him talking about what he wants to do in us. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work, not on you, but in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Hebrews 13:21 says, "Equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us," not on us, "working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." But again, when you look at the definition of in, you can find that God's will is enclosed inside of the believer, and the believer is enclosed inside of God's word. So we are in him, and he is in us. Somebody might be sitting there going, "That don't make no sense now. You just said that he can't be on us and in us at the same time." Well, see, Galatians 3:26-28 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Let me say that again. You are all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That means you might be God's creation, but you are only his child through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So once we begin to believe in him, we begin to be in him. But then Colossians tells us in chapter 1:27, "To whom God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery." And what's the mystery? "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So now he is also in us. But I'm going to take this just one step further, just one step further, because if you read the scripture, it says, "Thy will be done," or "your will be done in earth." Now, why is that important that he said in earth? To understand that, you would have to go back to the book of Genesis. But before I go to the book of Genesis to tell you why I know it's in earth and not on earth, is because you do not have to pray for God's will to be done on the earth. All of God's nature creation does God's will. All, not just because of what you see going on around you politically, where you can look in the prophetic books, and because God has given it unto you to understand the mysteries of heaven, that you can see where we are in the timetable of things. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the plants, the flowers, the trees, the grass, the all of nature, the earth, the crust, the rivers, the oceans, the seas, the mountains, the ice geysers. All of that is obedient to God's will. Psalms 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." It does it. Every time you hear a bird tweeting, it's proclaiming its praise unto God. Nature can proclaim God's will and praise so much that in Luke 19:40, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, or the Bible entitles the triumphant entry, and the disciples and the crowd begun to sing praises unto him, the Pharisees wanted Jesus to make them stop. And Jesus answered them and said, "I tell you that if these," meaning the people, "should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So that means the rocks can even cry out. Now, I don't know about you, but a rock ain't nothing but a rock. It's a piece of mineral that has either broken off or has grown in through wearation in the duration of time into a mountain or a cliff or whatever. But there's nothing to a rock but to sometimes support something, sometimes to hold something down. But it does really nothing. And what he said was that he would make something that does nothing begin to cry out his praises. So understand that on earth is already doing God's will. The planet is worshiping, the heavens are worshiping, and according to his word, if we were to stop worshiping, the rocks would begin to cry out in worship. So when he said his will be done in earth, what was he talking about? And as I said, you have to go to the book of Genesis, the creation story, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen, amen, and amen. And man became a living soul. And in man becoming this living soul, the first thing that you have to understand is what the Hebrew word for man is. The Hebrew word for man is not man. It's not mankind. It's not one man, but it was Adama. Now, when God said he created the Adama, man, we took Adama and said Adam, and that was the name of the first man. Well, no, the name of the first man was just simply Adama. And if you would like to know what Adama means, that's okay. I'll let you know right now. Adama simply means of the earth. Remember, the scripture said that he formed man of the dust of the ground or the dust of the earth. Adama means of the earth. So when God says, when Jesus is teaching us to pray and he says, thy will be done in earth, in us, in the dust of the earth, in that which God has formed, because out of everything that God created, the only thing he gave free choice and will was the dust of the earth. So he told us to pray that his will would be done in us and not on us. Amen. But and like I said, we're going to go into that deeper at a later date when we do our study on the Lord's Prayer. But we are going to move on because, as I said at the beginning of it, we only have an hour. Another one that I want us to talk about is something that I'm guilty of saying myself, just as I have been guilty of saying on earth. I'm guilty of quoting this also. And that is that God will not put more on you than you can bear. And, you know, I'm sure many of you have heard this popular quote, and where it might be found in the Bible, if you were to put that into like a Google search or a Bible search, you will not find those words that God will not put on more on you or that God will never give you more than you can bear. That does not come from the Bible. Now, I can tell you what verse it sort of stems from. It sort of stems from 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reads, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now understand, again, here we come with the mixing of words. It didn't say that he wouldn't put more on you than you can bear. He said that he would not tempt you beyond that which you were able to bear. And not only would he not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but he said that he would provide an avenue of escape. Now, understand, this is not saying that God tempts or tests us in that manner. It is the enemy that actually tempts us, and he tempts us with our own lust and desires. But what I love about this scripture is that God said that he would never allow the enemy to tempt us in a way that we are not able to withstand in the midst of the temptation. And not only would we be able to stand in the midst of the temptation, but he's also going to provide us an avenue of escape so that we can get away from the temptation. But does this trial, does that statement, does that verse mean that hardships in the trials of life will not be more than you can bear? Well, that's not true. And if you ever really read God's words, you will find that at the end of the day, most of the things that God's people went through were some things that were more than they could bear. Understand, Daniel got thrown into a lion's den. I think that would be a tad bit more than he could bear. The three Hebrew boys got thrown into the fiery furnace. Well, no, they really didn't get thrown, because the people that were supposed to throw them died on their way to taking them to the furnace because of the heat of the furnace. So the boys just kept jumping their way into the furnace. That's a study for another time, too. But I think that might be more than somebody could bear. Jesus himself had a moment. The word in flesh. You don't believe me? Read about him on Golgotha Hill. I'm sorry, not Golgotha. In the garden, Gethsemane. Right before they took him for the trial and crucifixion when he was praying. He didn't say, "Hey, Father, I'm so happy to be here. We getting ready to do the thing. I know they're going to beat me and scourge me and rip my hair out and put thorns on me and rip the flesh off my back, but I'm just so excited about what's about to take place because I know what the final outcome is going to be." That's not what he said. He said, hey, Father, let's talk about this. If it be thy will, let this cup pass before me. Can't we do this another way? But because his will wasn't on him, but in him, he said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." So understand that this philosophy that we have that God will not put more on you than you can bear, the truth of the matter is that, yeah, he will put more on you than you can bear. Why will he put more on you than you can bear? Because the word of God tells us that when we are weak, that he makes us strong. So his strength is when we finally say, "God, I can't take this." That's when he steps in. The songwriter said, "Wondering why I did not die, I'd be happy to tell you why. Wondering why I do not cry when so-called friends say goodbye. It's because of the Christ in me." I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 12 and 8. Paul was complaining because he was going through some things and dealing with some things, and he wanted God to take these things from him. And he said, starting at verse 8, he said, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness.'" Here you go again. "My power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest on me. That is why, for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul is saying when my flesh gets weak, when my flesh is broken, that's when I really get strong. And I'm not strong of my own might, but I'm strong because of the Christ that is in me. It is the Christ that is in me that keeps you from falling when you are being tested and tempted by the enemy. But it don't mean that you won't go through things that are too hard for you to bear. You don't believe me? Talk to a parent that ever had to bury a child. That's a pain that's hard to bear. I didn't say you wouldn't be able to bear, because as I said, Jesus is able to keep us from falling. But remember, he is the ultimate potter. And what does the potter do when he is crafting clay? He sometimes takes his hand and smashes it all the way back down to a lump, not to leave it as a lump in a mold, but to build it up into pottery that he can place on display. Amen. I'm looking at the time. I have two more to go through. I'm going to try to get through this next one. And if for some reason we cannot, we're going to pick it up the next time that I'm with you. The next cliche that you often hear us say, and I want to invite you, I'm sorry, before I go into it, again, we are broadcasting live at www.blogtalkradio.com/Perfect Kingdom. This is Toy Talk, and we are talking about that's not what he said. And again, I pray that in this conversation, as people are saying ouch and amen, that they also know that I am stepping on my own toes, because I have been guilty of not all, but some of these believer cliches. Another one that you hear people often say that is not biblical at all, and I don't even have to get into a whole lot of Bible to explain why it's not biblical, but that is that one where we say, well, you know, God said it. You take one step, he'll take two. I'm sorry, y'all. That's not what he said. Now, it comes from James 4:8, where it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And while that concept, I guess, would be considered biblically correct, it's really not an actual quote. Nowhere in God's word did he say, if you take one step, I'll take two. Furthermore, the truth of that quote is it's actually an Indian proverb. And the actual Indian proverb says, when we take one step towards God, he takes seven steps towards us. Another version of that proverb is, when a man takes one step toward God, God takes more steps toward that man than there are sands in the world of time. Whichever way they want to say it, at the end of the day, the truth is, when we take one step towards God, he doesn't have to take one step towards us, because he's already there waiting for us. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all places at all times. So if he's in all places at all times, he's waiting for you. Why does it say that we need to take a step towards him? Well, that's called repentance. We have to accept him. He's not going to force himself on us. However, when we take that step towards him, he actually begins to not just stay right there with us, but to lead us, which means he's not stepping towards, because we're supposed to be following him in our walk. And because we're supposed to be following him in our walk, he's walking and we're supposed to be right by him. And then when stuff really get jacked up, it's sort of like that poem, The Footsteps, and you feel like, oh, I can't see his footprints. I'm supposed to be following him. I feel like I'm stuck. Well, you are sort of stuck. You're stuck in his arms because he's carrying you through the situation. But he's right there with you. He said, come just as you are. He didn't say you have to take a step and then hope I take steps to you. He said in his word, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto me. He didn't say that he was going to go running 20 steps unto all the people because he does not have to. That's what omniscient means. He's in all places at all times. I'm sorry, omnipresent. He's in all places at all times. He's there. And I know people don't like to look at it this way because when you look at it this way, you have to admit that he's there when you're messing up. Yeah, he was there when you were sleeping with that woman's husband, there when you were sleeping with that man's wife. He was there when you was just fornicating with Joe Knucklehead or Sister Fast so-and-so around the corner. He was there when you were stealing the change from wherever. He was there when you neglected whatever responsibility it was you were supposed to do. He was right there. You can't hide it from him. You can't run from him. You can't close his eyes to it. He was right there. So if you want him, all you have to do is turn towards him. That's why the scripture says draw nigh. Because if you draw nigh to him, as long as you are facing towards him, he's going to keep leading you in the direction of which you should go. And that's why he says he will draw nigh unto you. He's not going to go so far ahead of you that you can't see him. And I promise you that the day you think you can't see him, the day you think you don't feel him, those are the days that he are carrying you through the storms and the trials and the tribulations of your life. I'm not telling you that. That part I just said, I'm not telling you that because that's what the scripture says. I'm telling you that because that's what I know. That's what he's done for me. The scripture says he's no perspective of persons, and what he has done for me, he can do the same for you. That's what the scripture says. I'm just telling you what he's done for me and what I've read about him doing for other scriptures. Because as I said, he was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. He was with David, not just against Goliath, but he was with David when he fought the lion, the tigers, and the bears. He was there all the way. He was with Noah when Noah was going through the trials and the tribulations of building an ark, and while Noah was in the ark, he has never left us. He was with the children of Israel as they made their way through the wilderness. He led them as a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. He not just did that, but he promised us in Isaiah 43:2-3. He said, when thou passest through the waters. Understand, he didn't say if, he said when. So guess what? You're going to go through some waters. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because he is with us. He was right there. And why is he right there? Because of what Jude 24:25 says. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You understand? Just because he said he wouldn't let you fall didn't mean that it wouldn't fare like that, it wouldn't be more than you could bear. Because it's when you admit your weakness that he stands up and says, now I can show out and show off. Now I can be strong. And I'm going to use this last one that I'm going to talk on tonight, and we're going to lead it into the call of salvation. And that is one that we tend to just cut off. We don't misquote it, but what we tend to do a lot is cut it off. Now, I'm going to skip down to that particular one, because we are running out of time. but I do want to talk about this because, as I said, it's going to lead us directly in to the call of salvation, and that would be all things work together for the good. Now, that's usually the way we say it is usually, well, you know, all things work together for our good. As soon as somebody going through something, that's our favorite quote. Well, you know, God's word says all things work together for our good. And yes, it does say that. It really does. It says exactly that. All things work together for our good. But you got to finish reading the scripture. We have to finish quoting the scripture because that's not exactly all that it says. It says, now I'm trying to bring it up. The devil is busy because of course. Of course, my computer wanted to die out on me as we were talking, but it would be Romans 8 and 28. Romans 8 and 28. And I see everybody that is chatting, and I'm going to chat with you in a minute, but it's Romans 8 and 28, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Romans 8 and 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Now, that's not how we say it when we're quoting it to people. Because, you know, and I say again with all our good intentions, and I'm guilty of this one myself, we always say, well, you know, God says all things work together for our good. Well, no, that's not what he said. He put a clause on that, a disclaimer. He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the first disclaimer. If you don't love God, it ain't necessarily going to work together for your good. I'm just going to put it out there. Then it says, to them who are the called. So not only do you have to love him, but then you need to be called by him according to his purpose. Oh, that takes us all the way back to thy will be done in earth. So when we go that all things work together for good, it don't work together for everybody good. It works together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, according to God's purpose, not man's purpose, not man's made-up purposes, not all the side purposes, not all the ways we think we can dream and come up with and the things we think we can do to get us closer to God that goes against everything that he told us we need to do to come to him correctly, but according to his purpose, his will, according to his desire, according to his plan. But the blessing is there is a way to get in on that clause. And it's to accept God, God's way, on his term, on his condition. Y'all ever had somebody try to be in a relationship with you, but they didn't listen to anything you said? They were going to make you do this relationship totally their way, on their terms, on their conditions, with their craziness, and you had better take it and like it. That's how some of us want to do God. And the funny part is God's terms aren't that hard. It's real simple. Believe and confess. Believe and confess, and not just confess that you're accepting him, but confess your sins to him, not to a man on the box or in the room or in the closet on the other side. You can go straight to him. He is our great mediator. He is our great high priest. We can go straight to him. Because of him, there is no longer a veil between the holies of holies. He has given us approval to come in. He has given us the way to make all things work together if we come to him in reciprocation of the love that he has given us. Somebody just said, what love? The word of God says, for God so loved the world, not just Toy, not just Adrian, not just Rob, not just Aaron, not just Shakina, not just Mary, not just Bernard, not just Jermaine, but that God so loved the world. The world means everybody throughout all times, in every location, in every economic situation, in every cultural background, whether you live in the inner city, the urban city, the country, the suburbs, wherever you are. He said, for God so loved the world in general that that he gave his only begotten son. That's what he loved us so much, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him, whosoever believes in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever includes everybody everywhere. Whosoever. You just have to be willing to reciprocate the love that God has given to you. And you do it simply by accepting the gift that he gave to you. Everybody got a way. Everybody got a thought. Everybody got a plan. My degree is in theology. I have studied every religion modern man knows existed under theology. And in all my studies, I can honestly stand and tell you this. Even with people saying, oh, well, you know, there was a Messiah story in Egypt centuries ago, and there was a this in this location centuries ago, I can sit and truly tell you this. In all my studies, is it only recorded once where one man said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. He made it simple, plain, and broke it down. You can try all those other ways. He said, any man that tries to get in any other way is a thief and a robber. In other words, there is no other way except through Jesus the Christ, Isa, the Messiah, Yeshua, whichever language you would choose to call him in, whether it be English, Hebrew, Arabic, whatever it is, the God man. God loved you so much that he took on the form of flesh. He placed his word in man. That's why John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. But that's John 1:1. And if you jump down to the 14th verse, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, tabernacled amongst us. That's how much he loved all of us. And you can simply accept him by saying this prayer after me. You just say, Father God, I accept you into my life. I accept the gift that you gave of your son, Jesus the Christ. I come to you asking him into my life, asking him to forgive me of my sins, asking him to begin to create me anew. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, just tell somebody. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Sabbath school. You don't have to wait until Bible study or prayer service. You can call somebody on the phone and just say, hey, I gave my life to Christ. As soon as you confess it out your mouth, according to God's word, you are saved, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Now, we got about three more of these that I have to go through, but we are not going to be able to get to them tonight because we have to have our announcements. And right after our announcements, the motherboard is coming together because I realized that one of the things missing today is the prayers of the mothers on the morning's bench. So right after the announcements, we will be closing out in prayer. And I have with us this evening in prayer, we have Sister Janice Hudson. We have Sister Letty. We have Reverend Maureen. And we have myself. We will be going to the throne of glory after our announcements by Brother Robert Pop Hudson. Brother Rob, you there?
Yes, I'm here. And real quickly, I'll go ahead and do the announcements. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. We thank you and appreciate your listenership. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello and send a prayer request. We're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. And we also invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see some of our upcoming shows and our advertisements. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we greatly appreciate that. And we'll be right back here tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour. Don't forget, at the 8 p.m. hour, we'll be here with a little talk with Jesus with evangelist Trina Lindsay Harrison. And God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour for a little talk with Jesus. With that being said, that's going to be the end of our announcements, and we're going to go ahead and continue our show.
The Lord, everybody. Our Father, the child in heaven, I come to you, Lord, as humble as I know how. Asking you, Lord, please put your healing arms around our children. Put them around the people of the world today, Lord Jesus. Lord, just cover them in your blood, Lord. Let them know that you're the Alpha, Omega, beginning, and first and last. Let them know that you're there for them in the time of their need, Lord Jesus. Let them know that all they had to do was come to you, Lord, and ask of you, Lord. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that you're there. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that at any time of their need, Lord, to just to turn from their wicked ways, Lord Jesus, so that you can do what you need to do to help them out, Lord Jesus. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that they must be humbly sorry, Lord. Lord, just put your healing arm around our broadcast tonight, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful remarks of Pastor Toy tonight, Lord Jesus, for she has hit it on the spot. And I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the teaching, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for just bringing me and giving me the knowledge and the understanding, Lord Jesus, to even become a part of Purpose Kingdom. I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you're going to do in our life. And I just want to thank you. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, I pray to you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Letty. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes,
God. All right. Reverend Maureen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank
Hallelujah,
you,
God. I thank you, Father God. I thank you right now for God. Oh, I thank you. Oh, I praise your holy name. Father God, if we said anything to offend you today, Lord God, Father God, we ask you to forgive us, Lord God. Father God, when it's all said and done, we're just standing in your good graces, Lord God, because you did not have to wake each and every one of us up, but you did for a reason and a purpose, Lord God. So I just thank you. Father God, we just pray for our country and all, Lord God. Whatever your will is, let your will be done, Lord God. Father God, we just pray for our children, Lord God, the ones that's not ours and the ones that are, Lord God. We just ask you to give them the fear of your fear. Let them fear to live, and they shall not die, Lord God. Let them depend and lean on you, Lord God. Let your neighbors and brothers and sisters know that you love them each and every day, because tomorrow is not promised. Father God, we just ask you to go before us. Father God, just remove harm and danger. Seen and unseen, Lord God. We want to walk in your steps, Lord God. Just order our steps so we can do your will and your way. Father God, because when it's all said and done, nobody's word is going to stand but yours. And when it's all said and done, we're going to go home one day, either heaven or hell. We have a choice because there's no gray area. Father God, so we just ask it, touching and agreeing that whatever your will for each and every one of our lives, that your will be done, not our will, but your will be done. Father God, and we just ask you just to continue to love us, although you do it when we don't even deserve it, Lord God. Oh, Father God, I just thank you and I praise your holy name, Lord God, and I thank you for Purpose Kingdom Network, Lord God, to letting the people know that, Jesus, you are love. You are love. You are love. You are love. You are love, God, and you love us just that much to go to the cross and die and rise all over just for us. Father God, so I love you. I love you. I adore you, Lord God. I place no one before you. And Father God, we ask you just to keep us covered and put the blood of your, you just shield us with your blood and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Father God, you said in your word, where there are two or three gathered together, touching and agreeing on your word, that there you are in the midst. You said, Father God, in your word, that whatever we loose on earth, you have already loosed in heaven. And whatever we bound on earth, you would bound in heaven. So we come together, Father God, touching and agreeing on your word this evening. We come together, Father God, just decreeing and declaring your word across these airways, letting the enemy know that he has no power and he has no victory, that he will not even get the power through fraudulent slips, God, that we give all power, all glory and honor unto you in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We release in the name of Jesus a spirit of healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus in every hospital room, in every sick bed, in every emergency room, Father. Right now, flow with a spirit of healing, God, where a parent is crying that they don't know what to do. Visit this evening, Father God, and release healing in the mighty name of Jesus, God. For you said in your word that we receive healing by your wounds, Father God. You said that you were bruised for our hallelujah, God, that you were wounded for our transgressions and that you were bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was placed upon you, and that by your stripes we are healed. So we ask, God, that you will heal right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. And we say thank you for the healing, God. Then, God, we ask that you would even look in mental institutions, Father God, where people are bound with demons of confusion, demons of depression, fighting homicidal thoughts. We ask, God, that even if they're not in an institution, but wherever they may be, God, we know that you are greater than all of this, God. We know that you are the God who sits high and looks low. We know that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We know that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We know that even when we were being formed in our mother's womb, you still knew each and every one of us. We ask, God, that you would release them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Depression, you have no place in Jesus' name. Suicidal spirits, you have no place in Jesus' name. Drug addictions and bondage, you have no place in Jesus' name. Loose God's people and let them go right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Touch the grieving right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Allow a spirit of comfort to come upon them right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Those who are walking the floors all night, worrying about their loved ones, worrying about situations, we decree and declare peace unto them this evening in the name of Jesus. Remind them, Father God, that you are with them in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, and that you who watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps, God. So since you never slumber nor sleep, God, and since you are with them, God, since you are protecting them, God, since you are keeping them, God, we ask that you will give them some slumber and sleep in peace this evening in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Right now, God, touch a fornicator somewhere, God, thinking they're hiding from you what's being done, but we decree and declare deliverance right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God, you Jesus. And then, God, we ask that as we depart from this place, but never, never, never from your presence, we ask, God, that you will allow us to be doers of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. And not just doers, God, that you will allow us to be workers for you who can rightly divide the word of truth, that we not be ashamed. Hallelujah, God. And more importantly, that we not put you to shame. Hallelujah, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep us until you bring us together again, as only you can. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Know that we love you with the love of Christ. Hallelujah. And we will see you again in 4 weeks on Toy Talk. But we'll see you this coming Monday on Let's Talk About It. See you there. God bless you. Be blessed. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.